From the Way of Truth Ministries in Altoona, Pennsylvania, comes the Living Truth Radio Broadcast. Hi, I'm Jim O'Brien, and it's a delight for us to be invited into your day with another edition of the Living Truth. In a few moments, the founder and president of the Way of Truth Ministries, Dr. Gary Dull, will present another practical study from God's Word, the Bible. To contact us with a prayer request or information about this ministry, I'll return to give our contact information at the end of this broadcast. But now, here's Pastor Gary with his study for today.
Well, thank you, Jim O'Brien, and greetings, dear friends, in the precious name of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to come to you once again with another edition of the Living Truth Radio Broadcast, as we do every day at this same time, Monday through Friday, as we study the Word of God together. And this week we are looking at the subject, an overview of biblical missions. And I trust that you have a great interest in this study, because it is something that we must have an interest in if we are going to be living in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting as we study the Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us what we refer to as the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is referred to in five books of the Bible very directly. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. And I would encourage you to take some time to focus on the Great Commission, to study it, to get to understand it. Because as we look at each one of the times that the Great Commission is rendered in the Word of God, there is a different point of emphasis, as it were. For instance, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the process of the Great Commission is presented by Christ. In Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 16, the prospect of the Great Commission is mentioned. In Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 49, the preaching of the Great Commission is emphasized. In John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23, the personnel of the Great Commission is mentioned and emphasized. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the promise of the Great Commission is emphasized. And I would encourage you to study it from that prospect, because you see, God wants us to understand the Great Commission, and He wants us to fulfill the Great Commission. Today, I want to read one of the passages of Scripture in which the Great Commission is mentioned, and it's Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 49. And this is what I call the preaching of the Great Commission, and it is something that you and I, as believers, individual Christians, leaders of the local church, must take into consideration. Now, we know here that the Lord Jesus was just about ready to ascend back up into heaven. And notice what it says, beginning with verse 45 of Luke chapter 24. It says, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now that's the Luke rendition of the Great Commission. And it's interesting to note, as we read down through there, that the Lord Jesus Christ opened the understanding of the disciples that they might understand the Scriptures. And every time I read that verse, that's Luke chapter 24 and verse 45, I think, number one, what a blessing it would have been to literally sit under the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would have been a tremendous blessing. But then, what he did to them is something that we should pray for on a consistent basis, and that is that the Lord might open our understanding to the Scriptures, and particularly open our understanding to the Scriptures as it relates to the Great Commission. I want to ask you, pastors, I want to ask you, individual believers, what are you doing to enhance missions in your local church, if you are a pastor, and in your life, if you are simply an individual Christian. In other words, how much involved are you in missions? In other words, where is the priority of missions in your life? Where is the priority of missions in your church? It is to be something that is to be paramount. You notice there in verse 46 of Luke chapter 24, Jesus said, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ." That word behooved is an interesting word. It means to have a formal duty and responsibility to do something. And the fact of the matter is, the Lord Jesus had a great responsibility and duty to go to the cross to provide salvation for us. And it says, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer." He had to suffer for the sins of the world. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He had to suffer for the sins of the world. And then it goes on to say, and to rise from the dead the third day. You see, Jesus Christ suffered for the sins of the world. He died for the sins of the world, in that the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. But then he rose again on the third day. And how we can rejoice in that. Had Jesus Christ not risen from the grave, his sacrifice would not have been complete. It would not have been effective. But he rose again triumphantly, and through his death and burial and resurrection, the message of salvation is given to all people, and all who call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. Then you go down to verse 47 of Luke 24. It gives us really the message of missions. It says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." You see, when it comes to what missions is involved with and what missions does, number one, we should preach Jesus Christ, and we should encourage people to repent, that is to turn to the Lord from their sinful ways, and that by doing that, they will experience the remission of sins or the forgiveness of sins that's found only in Jesus Christ. But then he goes on in verse 48, and he said to his disciples, "And ye are witnesses of these things." That word witness is an interesting term, and we're going to look at that in more detail later on. It means to be a strong declarer of the facts. To be a strong declarer of the facts. It also comes from the Greek word that can be translated martyr. And what it is teaching us is that we need to be committed to being a witness for Jesus Christ, even to the point of our death. And then, of course, in verse 49 of Luke 24, Jesus goes on and says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And of course, that is a reference to what actually took place in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and thereafter, where the Spirit of God came upon the disciples, as is recorded specifically in Acts chapter 2. And of course, we know that they preached that great message of salvation, and 3,000 souls were saved. But missions is to be a part of our life. Missions is to be a part of our preaching. Now, the question that we ask is, what really is New Testament missions? Well, for that, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 14. And I realize that I don't have time to really delve into it in detail today because we are running out of time. But let me say this at this point, that the book of the Acts is the New Testament handbook on missions. If you want to understand missions as it relates to the New Testament local church, then you need to study the book of the Acts. And I just want to read to you verses 21, 22, and 23, and we'll pick up on this again tomorrow, the Lord willing, because what we see in verses 21, 22, and 23 of Acts chapter 14 is a definition as well as a description of New Testament missions. Note, if you would, please, Acts chapter 14, verses 21, 22, and 23. It says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch." confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now, what we see there is that Paul, and of course his ministry, had been proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had been stoned there at Lystra. They threw him out of the city. They thought he was dead, but he rose up. And what we see is that he continued the ministry of preaching the word of God. But as they visited the various cities, they did three things based upon Acts chapter 14, verses 21, 22, and 23. Number one, they evangelized the lost. You see that in verse 21 when it says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many." They evangelized the lost, and they taught people the truth of God's word. Secondly, they edified the Christians. Verse 22, it says, "They confirmed the souls of the disciples and exhorted them to continue in the faith." And then number three, we see that they established local churches. Verse 23 of Luke 14 says, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church." And so what we see there from the biblical perspective is that New Testament missions involves in evangelizing the lost, it involves edifying the Christians, and it involves establishing local churches. Now, the Lord willing, we're going to dig into that a bit deeper tomorrow, so I trust that you'll be there by the radio as we continue to look at this concept of biblical missions and define in a greater way New Testament local church missions. I'll give you a definition of New Testament missions tomorrow, the Lord willing. Until then, keep looking up, for Jesus could come again today. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Gary, for that very practical study from the Bible. What a blessing it is to learn from the pages of Scripture through your clear teaching. Beloved, here at the Way of Truth Ministries, we have a genuine desire to serve you spiritually. If you have a prayer request or desire a copy of the notes or outlines or even a CD of today's program, please contact us. There's no charge for the materials, but we would appreciate a donation of $5 for the notes and $10 for the CD to defray the cost of shipping and handling. Our address is The Way of Truth Ministries, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602. You can reach us by email at wot@wotbm.org. Please visit our website at www.wotbm.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. We're looking forward to being with you on our next Living Truth broadcast. Until then, on behalf of Pastor Gary Dahl, I'm Jim O'Brien saying, God be with you till we meet again.